Hello, everyone. Thank you for coming, and thank you for all the live streamers. A little bit about me. I'm a college student living in the US, and I've been doing a lot of tech tinkering on open source stuff since I was little, and there's been a lot of that experimentation in my house. Ubuntu has also been a very common operating system in our house, just as much as Windows or Mac OS, and so I have a particular affinity to it. On top of that, the Asahi Linux project that came out in 2022 sparked up an interest in me and reminded me that what my mobile devices were capable of running on their chips. And so at the beginning, I was running virtual machine Ubuntu images on my iOS devices, but that wasn't native, that was virtual machines, so I wanted a native Linux-first device that was also affordable and accessible, and that is where Pine64 particularly stands out. And another important fact is that Orin actually means pine, so I've had a particular connection to them and affinity with them and dedication to their work. And so what makes Ubuntu Touch on Pine64 different from most devices is split in two ways. One, Pine64's devices are not like most Ubuntu Touch devices, and that is that, like many of the other talks earlier today have mentioned, Ubuntu Touch runs on Hallium kernels as opposed to mainline kernels, which means that there's a lot of extra components that are thrown in the middle to do some abstraction to get a lot of the sensors and modem and such working. However, on Pine64 devices, we don't have to use that. We have to use instead our own middleware often. And also, Ubuntu Touch is different than a lot of mobile Linux distributions, because while most of those distributions allow you complete control over your operating system with a read, write, and file system and updates as they come, Ubuntu Touch does a read-only file system to provide an immutability layer, as well as over-the-air updates. So updates happen in big chunks at once rather than individual packages as they come. So these pieces in particular have made adapting Pine64 devices for Ubuntu Touch a challenge, but a welcome one. So some background starts with the original 1604 port came at a pivotal time for both UBports and Pine64. For starters, there was ongoing work to move to 1804 from 1604, although that work was later abandoned in favor of focusing on the jump to 2004, as the project was focusing mainly on migrating away from legacy tools like Upstart when Canonical was developing the project and towards a systemd-based stack, which the UBports team has done a great job with. And they also announced around this time the renaming of Unity 8 to Lomiri, which is still an ongoing process and involved not just the changing of a name in one place, but in every single bit of code, which has provided some incompatibilities, as we will find out later on. The original PinePhone Community Edition came with Ubuntu Touch, as well as the original PineTab. And when both of these were developed, they were done primarily by one guy, Dalton Durst, who did a lot of work for not only these ports, but also for the entirety of the UBports team. And so he was handling a lot of internal infrastructure, which meant that when the team was working on the eventual switch to 2004, the Pine64 port had to be pushed aside in favor of a lot of other stuff that Dalton was working on. And then another pivotal moment came in 2022, when first Dalton had left the development team to go work on other projects, which left the PinePhone port completely abandoned at that point. And Pine64 also came out with the PinePhone Pro Explorer Edition, which was around the time when I started getting interested in the device. But notably, the device didn't have an Ubuntu Touch port, which means that I had to make that. And so my process with this port originally began with looking at some of the other builder scripts that were around. Notably, there's one that was linked on the wiki called the DPA Image Builder that taught me a lot about how the structure of the images are compiled, which allowed me to create this chart here. And what's important about the PineFoam Pro is that the bootloader is separated onto the onto a separate SPI chip rather than within the images themselves, which meant I didn't have to pack those anymore, which is a great benefit. We can also use particularly ToeBoot as our bootloader, which allows us to dual boot using the volume keys or even switch into mass storage mode to flash directly to the device from any other machine. But as I quickly found out, most of the fun was in the kernel, and it didn't work immediately when I booted it, because at the time, the PinePhone Pro device tree files were not in the kernel yet, and so I had to pull them from downstream. Particularly, a lot of my kernel work has reflected Meji's work, and it was looking at his work that helped me figure out how to get those device trees in. And once I pushed that past that process, I had a booting Ubuntu image, but this was not a distributable Ubuntu image. It was built manually and was heavy. So I had to switch to making a port for Ubuntu Touch. It uses a very similar process, but slightly different. Rather than debootstrapping from scratch, we actually pull a CD image from Ubuntu server and then use a program called Devos, which can open a Docker or Podman container and build on top of that CD image to create our final distributable images. And last year at FOSDEM, I wasn't here, but an early stage of my PinePhone Pro port was shown off at the FOSON mobile stand. And this year, I now have four devices, the PinePhone, the PinePhone Pro, the PineTab, and the PineTab 2, all running on a much stabler version of the port. So once I got the PinePhone Pro ported, it was time to move on to the PinePhone, which was still stuck behind on 1604. And I didn't have the PinePhone myself, but I could do some research in the meantime. And so I found out, actually, that there was no reason why I couldn't include both architectures for the devices inside of my kernel image, which I also learned from Meji's stream. And once I had a unified kernel, I also found out that we could use ToeBoot on the PinePhone as well, which, once again, split out that necessity of having to pack the bootloader into our images. And I asked someone to try it out on their device, and sure enough, it worked, which was wonderful, which meant we had both the PinePhone and the PinePhone Pro up within just like 2 weeks of each other. Shortly after that, the PineTab 2 pre-orders went live. And at this point, I was looking to make another port. And the UBports team actually reached out to me and said, do you want us to send that to you so that you can make the port? And I happily obliged. And they also sent me one of the original PinePhones to maintain at this time. And then the PineTab 2's port was very similar to the other ones, and I had most of the hang of it by this point. But it was too early for a ToeBoot port out, to be out yet, so we had to use the UBoot binaries, which meant I had to go back to learning how to pack that into the image properly. But luckily, besides the bootloader, the rest of the process was essentially the same. And then after we had the PineTab 2 port, another community member reached out to me and said, hey, I see that you have these other three devices ported up, and I've got a original PineTab sitting in my drawer not doing anything. Would you like me to send it to you so that you can create a port for that as well? And once again, I said, of course. unfortunately, ToeBoot doesn't work on the PineTab either, because the run for how many PineTabs actually came out was quite limited. So the main maintainer of ToeBoot never got his hands on a device to create that port. So we used the PineTab 2's process again and just packed the bootloader back into the images, and that had two congruent sides, a PinePhone set of images without the bootloader in it, and then a PineTab set of images with the bootloader in it. Notably, the PineTab and PineTab 2 do use different bootloaders because they have different architectures, so there are individual images for each of those devices. I was also warned about using kernel versions greater than 6.1 on the PineTab, because apparently it would cause a kernel panic and an infinite reboot. I found that this was partially true, but it was a very easy problem to solve. All I needed to do was move a module from internal to external, which allows it to run after the DRM system that it was relying on to run, and then it never has that kernel panic because it never starts before it's supposed to. As I stated previously, though, a ported device doesn't mean all of its features are working. So there were a lot of software component hurdles that I had to get over to get to the state that we were in today. Two of the biggest ones have been rotation and modem, both of which were due to the niche circumstances of trying to conform to Ubuntu Touch's Helium software stack. So in particular, we have the split of what most Pine64 distributions use versus what Ubuntu Touch uses. For starters, Modem Manager versus Ofono, which has also been mentioned in a few talks earlier. And Modem Manager generally has a lot better stability with the EG25 modem that the PinePhone and PinePhone Pro use. But with several scripts, we were able to get Ofono in a similarly stable state. And another of those components was the difference between IIO sensor proxy and sensor FW. Sailfish OS also uses sensor FW, and we also used the Ofono Sailfish port. But the thing is with sensor FW compared to sensor proxy is that you have to write your own configuration files for your devices, and it also has to use a second adapter in order to properly read from the IIO buses. And so you can see here on these charts that both Ofono and Modem Manager can use EG25 Manager, which handles with the powering and a lot of the sending data between the modem. And that was how we were able to get a much more stable modem version on 2004 than compared to 1604. And with the sensor files, even after all of those patches were properly put in and all of our sensors were reading correctly, rotation still wasn't working. And this was maybe my biggest frustration for 8 months. And then one day I decided to look in the log files, and I noticed that the display was being enumerated as unknown rather than DSI, which in some places it says that correctly, but in other places it doesn't. So sure enough, once I had fixed that enumeration in all of the places where it properly had to be, rotation was working. And the other big group of struggles was read-only images and recovery images, both of which use a special initramfs script. And so these two components help provide that those OTA images. The read-only images provide a level of immutability so that a user can wipe the system into a reset state, and rather than having to reflash the whole image, and it also protects the system from too much destruction. But there's also the recovery scripts, which allow the device to switch into that updating modes so that it can install those OTA updates, as opposed to installing the updates for individual packages live, like most Linux distributions do. So While the 20.04 Pine 64 images currently release with image files, most Ubuntu Touch images ship their updates through tarballs, which is where we are moving towards. And the recovery image is what we need for that final component to get the tarballs working. And recently, we did succeed in getting those read-only images working. And now we can copy much more of the deploy style of many of the other Ubuntu Touch images. And then looking forward, we are moving towards 24.04 on the entirety of the distribution, which will likely be around when these recovery and over-the-air images will also be available. But this rebase is going to be a welcome one for us because most of the components that we backported into 20.04 for the PinePhone Pro and PineTab 2 will be already upstream in 24.04, so we don't have to carry that in our repositories anymore. And outside of Ubuntu Touch, we're also working closely with the Lomiri team that is working outside on regular Ubuntu as well as on Debian. And so we're hoping that some of the changes, like the enumeration to those displays, can help fix some of those issues on Debian with rotation, for example. And right now, our ports is the closest thing that Lomiri has to stability on mainline, but we're hoping to get that expanded to a more generic set of devices in the near future. And that's about it. Thank you. We have some demos of the devices available at the Fosson mobile stand in building AW, so feel free to check those out afterwards.
Great talk. First question? So you talked about the original PineTab. There were two versions of that, a dev one and an early adopter one. Is it fixed for both?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very interesting. Having heard some of the talks today in this dev room makes me feel like this is the early days of ARM SYSC boards, or even worse, like the DOS days where, you know, every game had to ship 36 audio drivers. Do you envision a future where we have a sort of standard platform like UEFI on PC and ARM?
I would hope so. I think that the Asahi Linux project is certainly a push towards that, and I'm hoping that other companies can follow suit.
Hello, great talk. But is it technically possible that the you mentioned that the PinePhone images are the same image for the two different PinePhones? Would it be possible that there'd be non-PinePhones in the same image if they didn't require bootloader, or is there a specific reason why they only work on Pine devices?
The only reason right now is the kernel. Otherwise, we absolutely could boot those images that don't include the bootloader on plenty of other devices.
How did you find out to put the, was it the, no, from internal to external, the kernel module, was it that?
I was looking in the device tree files, and I noticed a mention of the display driver in there, but it looked like there were actually a duplication of those mentions. And so when I went and ticked off one of those modules from Y to M on the displays, it worked, and that's all it needed. And then in the kernel logs, it also said that that display driver was trying to start before DRM was available.
A question from the Matrix.
I've heard this question before today, but yeah, the question is, any plans on migrating to Modem Manager?
I saw that question earlier, and I would also hope so, but I don't think that actually is viable right now, because that would mean the whole Ubuntu Touch stack would have to move to modem manager, and so we instead have to rely on what the rest of the distribution is using, which right now is OFNO.
It's not a question. According to the picture, recovery, according to the picture, recovery was dropped in the 2004 layout. Was recovery functionality integrated into boot in a DrumFS?
So it wasn't dropped, it's just not available yet. It's still a work in progress.
I do not necessarily have a question, but I have a quick addition to the person that asked about the standardized boot format, about the DOS games. I think it was that guy. People are moving towards U-boot and chain loading U-boot on other devices and making repartitioning possible. So in the end, it would look the same as Asahi and also the PinePhone that you developed. So that was a quick addition.
Thanks.
A follow-up question. You meant kernel options before compiling with Y and M, or okay?
So, say it again.
Did you mean kernel options Y and M?
Yes. Yes. Okay. In the def config. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah.
Could you name a single thing that would make the porting to another device easier? Like, what was like the hardest thing? Or like, what would make your life easier if you would have to port to a new device?
If the bootloader was figured out for me, then it would make it really easy. Because as I mentioned with the PinePhone and PinePhone Pro images, it's really just the kernel at that point. And it's not hard to figure out what kernel modules you need to get a certain device to boot.
Maybe a more general question. What's the current status regarding the full disk encryption in UB ports?
Say again?
The full disk encryption status in UB ports.
I actually don't know that. Does anyone? Alfred?
Yeah, passing on to Alfred.
Yeah, thank you. So it's probably not going to be. So first of all, there is no home encryption whatsoever right now, but unless manually set up with scripts, so in which case you can do that yourselves. We shouldn't provide any default, but we want to provide a default, and that's probably not going to be Lux-based encryption, but rather directly file-based with X4 and F2FS-based solutions. Because the Android devices, they have Android partitioning schemes, they have various differences where it makes no sense to do full disk encryption in that way that we used to from the desktop. And with it being on the user data, we can ensure that selective things inside of the user data are encrypted, like the home directory of the main user of the device, in which case we can unlock it with the same on-screen keyboard that the Lumiri desktop uses without having to basically add the on-screen keyboard to the inner DrumFS early up in the boot so that they don't look different, that they're using that they look cohesive, that they work with similar technologies so that it's one completely fitting thing that does it all for you. So in this case, full disk encryption, probably not, but file-based encryption or file system-based encryption, more likely. There have been experiments with that, and they were successful.
How did you feel when you first successfully booted up Ubuntu Touch on the PinePhone?
It was an awesome feeling, but as I mentioned, I have been tech tinkering for a long time, so it was also a very familiar feeling of, oh yeah, I got it working.